Yo, 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 it's HBO, Insecure All Day. We're talking Issa Rae, all a.k.a. Issa D. It's your girl MC on the twos and threes. We got Paula B, Oriana Lee. HBO, Insecure. We got two special peeps in the house tonight. Stay tuned. You want to find out who they are? No music.
No.
We're waiting for freedom. It's coming. Okay.
There it is.
It's coming. Freedom. Yes.
There it is.
Okay, it's coming. Freedom. Okay, this is Pharrell. I'm your girl, Madison Chase, and we are talking, of course, about HBO, Insecure, Issa Rae, a.k.a. Issa D, and we got some special guests in the house, and you're going to find out later, but before we get to the special guests, we got to talk to my co-host. Say hey to the people.
Hey, I'm Paula Bryant Dallas.
Hi, I'm Oriana Leo. You can find me on Twitter at Miss Oriana Leo.
Okay, so we're going to get to the Twitter and the hashtags and all that good stuff later. So, who do we have in the studio? Dun, dun, dun! I'm so excited. Mm-hmm. So, we have the two home records. in the house. But I absolutely adore Elon. Mm-hmm. I said it right?
Elon. She got it right.
It's cool. All about the tone. The tone was very welcoming.
It was welcoming. Okay, Elon. And that means, what does that mean?
Enthusiasm in French.
Oh, it means enthusiasm in French.
That has to be a cologne.
It means like strong tree.
You are
nice. It
actually
means one who is marked by distinctive style or flair.
Yes! Ooh. And you have flair with that.
Shout out to my mama.
Shout out to your mama.
For giving me something to, reach
mama
up to.
Mama Noel, yes, thank you. And we can't forget about the beautiful and talented.
Yes.
And the perfect boobs, we have to say. Dominique, she's making them bounce, just in case you can't see her. But Dominique Perry, all the way in the ATL.
Hey.
Welcome.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good, yes. And you?
I'm sorry I couldn't be there, because I was filming underground.
Yes, that's poor you.
Yes.
Poor you, filming underground.
You say what?
I said poor you. I mean sarcastic.
I know. Amazing. Filming underground. I know. Horrible, right?
Horrible.
In this hotel.
I know. It's okay. Okay.
Well, we're excited you're joining us.
Yeah, we're so excited. Okay, so we're going to start with the shoe cam, the ghetto Wendy Williams shoe cam. So can you pan down? We want to see your shoes.
Okay, wait a minute. Let me just turn around here.
Uh-huh.
Wait a minute. I think I can. Okay.
Yes!
My grandma got those.
Well, guess what? Your grandma got some
clothes. She could.
She has some taste.
What's up?
Okay,
hey,
now.
What's up?
Hey, hey, hey.
Awesome. Okay, Lante.
Yeah, there we go.
Right now, we got to see your shoes.
Okay, cool.
Can you? You're flexible because from the episode we saw you doing some flexible things.
Yeah. So.
Yoga works.
Yoga works.
Your camera.
Right
here.
You see? Can you?
Bam!
Don't get the ankle.
He said a little lower. Did you get the shoes? Okay. He said, bring it up again. Bam! Working that core. Work that core in them quads. We appreciate it. Okay. So, the name of this episode is Shady as
Flip-flop.
Hence your cute little bunny shoes. But I want to start with, who do you guys think was the shadiest on this episode? I have my take, but I'm going to let you guys do the honors. So, we're not going to talk about you two being shady. I mean, you can. If you think they were the shadiest. So, Paula, who do you think was the shadiest?
Go first. You go first.
Okay, Oriana, who do you think was the shadiest on this episode?
I think Issa was the shadiest. Straight up. She resisted for one second.
She tried.
And I was like, clearly she needed it, but I mean,
she did.
Wasn't that strong of a resistance either. It was like,
I did that.
For sure it was Issa. What do you say, Dominique? Who do you think was the shadiest on this episode?
Let me pronounce your name. Is it Elon?
Elon.
Dang, I pronounced everybody's name right.
All good.
I think Elon. I got it right?
Was it Daniel?
I think.
Daniel, probably.
Daniel. You could go with Daniel, because Daniel, the character.
Well, Daniel is. I think that Daniel was a little bit of the shadiest.
Interesting.
Sorry.
Just because I feel like he lured that a little bit, just a tad bit. Yeah. I don't think that Issa would have went all
Tasha
the way.
Well, you know, Tasha was trying to do some alluring her own self, popping up at Best Buy with the TVs talking about a battery.
I need some batteries.
Mm-hmm. No, I was looking for some batteries.
Okay.
So I was on my way to the, you know, to the bar or whatever.
To get your poppers.
I just had those out for, you know,
for the poppers.
For the boys.
Yes.
Yeah. not for Lawrence. I would never do that.
You would never. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Are Sasha's boobies, are they like claustrophobic? Do they need air? Like, do they need to be free? Is there a condition?
You know
here?
What? A lot of times they do. Yeah. A lot of times they do. These C's need freeing. Just be careful.
They need to breathe.
Lawrence needed to see him.
Yes.
He needed a breath of fresh air.
So.
Right.
Well, okay. You were walking them when he was at the bank. So he did get a view at that moment. But, you know.
He was watching them. I know. Right? Yeah.
I was sent a lot of still images in my group message chat.
That is hilarious. What were the
They were out.
Yeah, we'll have to get to the still images. Okay, so I think the shadiest of this episode was Chad, played by Neil Brown.
Mm. Did you?
I thought he was the shadiest because Leah, the girl that he's talking to, that he's about to marry, she's already married. He was like, yeah, we could do the divorce and the prenup at the same time. What is happening? How are you already married and you're moving on? Mm-hmm. I was done. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay. Yeah. I think Issa, I think when you're in a bad relationship, it's hard for you, and especially because you're the one.
She's not in
guy.
A bad. Come on, let's define bad. That's not a bad relationship.
No, okay, not a bad.
Unfulfilling
relationship. Yeah. It's unfulfilling, okay. But it's not bad.
It's not bad. Mm-hmm. Okay. Go ahead. No, man's perspective. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like at this moment in time, it is an unfulfilling relationship. I mean, it's that question, you know, is the grass greener?
Mm-hmm.
Or is the grass greener where you water it? Mm-hmm. You know?
She found the cow patty real quick, didn't she?
Put out the AstroTurf, put her feet up. Yeah, no,
the
AstroTurf,
that's not a good thing.
That's how it always is once you get over there.
I think, me personally, I think this episode, Molly was probably the shadiest in my opinion.
See, that's why I wanted to ask that question.
That's a good perspective.
Because here you have this dude that she played.
Yeah.
Like,
to the left.
Yeah.
Like Heisman. Like, 100%, get out of here. You know,
and in her time in need, she comes back to the rescue. You know,
like,
to try to pick up the pieces.
Yes.
And, you know, after her feelings got hurt. And that's,
well,
you
and
know,
she
that
came
to me,
to
like,
him drunk.
Yeah.
Drunk.
Yeah.
Off the late night tip.
You know? I would move Molly to number one.
But
you're right.
What?
That was a shady move.
I feel like we all have had that situation. I'm sorry. I can't even hardly hear. Y'all talking.
We can hear you.
No, go ahead.
It's all you.
Oh, okay. I'm just saying, on Molly's defense, I feel like we, as women, I know me, I've had a situation where it's like, the guy that you want, is like, he won't act right. But then you got the other guy that's like, perfect. So it's like, what do you do at the end of the day? I know for me, it's been like that.
I feel
like, you know, like, it's like the, and then like how he treated her, like at the end when he was like, what are you talking about? Like, I was just here to make, I'm like, what in the world?
Are you talking about Chris?
Chris.
Yeah.
To dinner?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
But I think Paula had an interesting perspective because, first of all, let's go back to their first date. Like, they met online, and we know, like, from the first or the second episode when they talked about dating apps and kind of breaking them all down, most people, especially men, tend to get on dating apps to actually, you know, hit it and quit it. So when that actually happened and they slept together after the first date, and then he got up and then he kissed her, and he was like, you know, like, if he had intentions on just being the hit it and quit it dude, I don't think he would have kissed her.
He would have never showed up.
He would have
never showed up.
He wouldn't have
showed
up.
Yeah, that's true.
He tried to put on his cape and, you know, save her. Now,
he did.
He came across as extremely kind. condescending. Yeah, but, you know, that's.
But that's what Molly does to you, right? She just like, and she can't let it go.
She just squeezes.
She just squeezes. It's like one date. My God, you're killing the man, and he still showed up.
Yes,
and then she couldn't let it go. Right? I mean, he was there. He rescued her, and then it was like, you mean if I was Molly, I would have known that he was there to rescue me, and he did that just because that was a great thing that he did, right?
Yes.
Are you the new boyfriend? Awesome. And he goes, yeah. But then she gets, she's like, oh, did you really mean it? Mm-hmm. Oh, come on. Did you think he meant it after one date?
But that's the thing, too. I think when you look at black women in dating in this country, like, I think you said something about being thirsty. And then I started to think about the difference between being thirsty and being dehydrated. Right?
Let's ponder on
this thing. Like, if you haven't had water at all, and the first time you get, like, a drop, you're like, oh, my God, that is the best water. Ever.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's where Molly is.
But Molly does it with everybody.
Because she wants to be in a relationship. She really wants it really, really bad. So the minute she gets like just a drop of water on her tongue when you're dehydrated,
Oh my God,
this is
it. She's going about it in a little bit of a wrong way.
She is.
She's moving a little bit too fast.
Too fast.
And she clearly feels like a relationship is going to be her salvation when she needs to work on herself. Right? So all of this energy she's putting out there, it's like she's just gonna go down. I feel like she's gonna go downward spiral because the relationship isn't gonna save you if you're not happy with yourself, if you're not proud of yourself,
And I thought it was interesting how when they showed her, like, getting up in the morning, how we saw all these kind of, like, labels. Like, you saw the AKA thing on the wall.
Right.
Then you see her shoes.
All the designer shoes at
the foot of the bed. So you see the things that are really important to her. Mm-hmm. But then when you talk about her and Jared, I think, I don't know. I'm not going to say it's just women. I think it's men, too. Like, sometimes we want what we think we can't have. Mm-hmm. And then you play this, like, dysfunctional kind of thing with yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, you want the thing that doesn't want you instead of actually going for it. Like, she should have went for Jared the whole
time.
That's
what I was saying,
And, you know, it's interesting, too, because with Jared, she wasn't that aggressive. Did you notice that with Jared? She wasn't as aggressive as she was with the things that she couldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just like, it was like the fact, I'm a little bit like a turn-on for her, right?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that she couldn't have them. She became so much more aggressive in going after them.
Mm-hmm.
And then here was someone who clearly was interested in her, and she rejected him almost immediately.
I mean, she met him at the club that she was, she denounced that club. And when they went to the Mavericks flat, the first pilot, she was like, ain't nothing but like Crips and dudes and Coros in here.
Yeah.
So she met him in that environment.
That's true.
She's already like the context of him. He's below me.
Right.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a really good point.
I actually counseled a friend this weekend who's having boy problems, man problems, also an attorney, beautiful woman.
Huh.
And she admitted something that was interesting where she said, I realize that I just want to win.
Which is so interesting because I was actually watching the show with a guy. I was telling Lante that I was watching the show with my friend that happens to be a Kappa like him. And so he was saying the interesting thing about relationships was he said, man, it happens all the time where women just want someone to come and save them. And that's essentially what he did.
Oh, yes.
She couldn't take her truth. And he was telling her everything that was true about herself, but she couldn't take it. And I was like, why did she tell him to leave?
Like, well, I love the fact that he said, I felt like you needed a win.
It took the wind out of me. I'm not going to lie. Like, I felt just by proxy, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, to hear something like that. For me, I was like, oh, I don't. He meant it in good intentions.
I think he did.
And I like the way he delivered her truth.
I did. I did too. He was still like nice about it.
I thought he was.
Yeah. Do we think the weekend might have been like a pity flip-flopping weekend? I mean, the way he kind of came after it was like, you really needed this win. What was that whole weekend about? Was she that just, you know what I mean?
That desperate.
Like, mercy.
That's a
pity.
I didn't take it that way until after they woke up that morning.
Yeah.
That he, because his first facial expression with her, right?
Yes.
When they started having this, that's when he kind of started
like
going,
pulling back.
Right, right.
And she always misses it.
She totally misses it.
She's oblivious.
Totally oblivious.
But,
I feel like he wouldn't have shown up if he really was just trying to.
I agree.
Because he got dressed. Yes. She kept pressing the issue.
Yes.
But I still like anybody who doesn't at least have a genuine interest wouldn't put in the work. And then be honest, you know, be honest. When it came
but that's the thing too. I think it's so interesting because we have gotten into a generation where we're so politically correct about everything that we don't really want to tell the truth. And when we do actually tell the truth, because you're telling the truth, your friends either get offended and they no longer want to be your friend because they don't really want to see themselves. Yeah. They don't really want to hear the truth. And I think that's where Molly
is. Truth hurts.
It does.
Right. Yeah. Truth hurts. And is we all have to take that look in the mirror. It's a hard thing to do.
I was going to say, is it being politically correct or is it non-confrontational?
I think it's non-confrontational. Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
But avoiding the truth because we don't like being uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I'm just looking, when I say politically correct, I think when it's kind of like when you look at kind of the way we are like in politics, if you're for something, that means you're against something.
Yeah.
If you like the Cowboys, that means you hate the Eagles. If you like AKAs, that means you hate Deltas. Deltas. Like, it's like
there's this hard stance that you have to take that makes no sense.
That makes no sense versus, you know, the truth of the reality. So one of the things that me and my friend that were watching this together, you know, I have a dog. And so Molly has a dog. And so he was kind of, you have a doggy too? What's your doggy's name?
A Yorkie, Bentley.
Oh, Bentley, I love it.
That's so cute.
So here's the thing, Dominique, right? The chain on the neck, hysterical. Hilarious. But my friend was like, you got to get rid of that dog. He was like, no man really wants to be with a woman that kind of has this, you know, dog if you're a single woman. I was like, well, here's the thing you have to understand about women and dogs. Women naturally have this maternal thing where we have to nurture something.
Yep.
I was like, so where you see it as this Hollywood, I'm trying to be like Paris Hilton, I'm really trying to nurture something.
I don't understand that. So he was saying that men don't want to be with women because of a dog?
He was like, that could be a turnoff because
I know a lot of guys that I've come in contact with don't like my dog. And it's like, what is the problem?
Yeah.
It's because they can't handle the divided
the
attention.
The competition. Yeah.
It's a dog, but I do have to say that this guy might have a point when it comes to the dog jumping on the bed.
Yes,
because that's been
an
issue of like if you don't have boundaries with your animal,
I would agree with that.
Then that dog is going to be in bed with you.
Yes,
right, and that may not be your thing.
Yeah,
that's true.
I agree with that part.
That's interesting.
For sure.
Maybe I have to learn that because I've even told someone, "Hey, if you can't accept my dog, then." You can't accept me.
Right.
Because we a total package.
I think that's fair. Yeah. I think it's fair.
I think that's totally fair. Yes. Okay, so we'll get back to the show. Favorite scene for you, Paula?
Favorite scene? Let me think about it. My favorite scene. I love when... I actually enjoyed the Roscoe scene, to be honest.
I was going
to
say, that was one of my favorite scenes, even though I can't stand, Neil Brown Chad. I was like, but he's interesting.
But I like him. I like his character.
I like him because he's honest.
You know what
honest
I love his best
his,
line was?
I think we have the same best line. Go ahead.
I took her to the airport. that was confirming. I took her to the airport, right?
Yes.
And he really means it.
He meant it.
He's just like,
Like,
he believes it.
He was so convinced.
Okay, but when was the last time you took someone to LAX?
It's ridiculous.
I took someone to LAX. That would be love.
Ariana, you are so on my page because I'm like, the only people I pick up from the airport is my mama. And that's it.
And well, you that's got how to he be, said it. He's like, man, I took her to the airport.
Yeah. Because in L.A., that's like
that's
really
a
like
deal.
That's a big
that's
deal.
That's a big deal. Right.
You're
is.
Looking
that's
at like 3 hours.
Yes.
Like a 3-hour drive.
That's why it's funny. A lot of my friends that watch the show, you know, because initially when you see a show like this, it's okay, it's going to be about a lot of girl relationships.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw Chad's episode 2, I was like, oh, okay, here we go. Like, I knew him. My mom was just like, okay, now, okay, cool, we got one. We got one. Who it is.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and you know, you just relate to him in a different way. Like
you
whole,
do.
Yeah.
You
I think
totally
so too.
Do.
Yeah.
You totally do. So that was your favorite scene.
I think so, yeah, it was.
And I think we see Lawrence in that scene, like, really getting an understanding of, like, he is really twisted. Like, I'm not taking advice from him. Like, I see his mind, like, calculated. Like, that's what you think a relationship is?
But I also
is?
Think he triggered some thought in Lawrence in that, I can't remember how he posed the question, but... What's taking you so long? Or
he hasn't come to this point with Issa, right?
Yes. Right.
He's like, we're getting married. Whoa! And he's like, when you know, you know. Yeah. And it kind of did seem like, he went, oh God, I don't know if I
do.
Know.
I not know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's feeling like he has to get his stuff together before he can, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I like Neil's response. Get your stuff together. Right. Love that response.
Which wasn't expected necessarily from Neil, the guy who's, right? You know,
from Chad, the character Chad.
The nuances. That's why the writing is so crazy.
It's so amazing, right? It
People that you don't expect to surprise you end up surprising you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I was happy to see that realization on Lawrence's face, that he realized, like, wait a minute, I can do mine. Because he was like,
we
we're doing
do
it
that
together.
Right. Yeah.
We could totally do that together. So.
Which is, you know, from a journey with a relationship, it's a great thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I think it strengthens you. My husband was in the military, and we traveled all over the world together.
Aww.
And one of the most amazing things was that as we were traveling, when we would get to a new city, mm-hmm. it would just be the three of us. We mm-hmm. wouldn't know anyone. Mm-hmm. And so we would spend so much time out scouting this city together, right? We'd get in the car on Sundays mm-hmm. and we'd go for these drives and we'd check out neighborhoods where we wanted to buy a house. Mm-hmm. But that was like, we even still talk about that time together now because it was just the three of us.
Right.
And you're together and you're bonding and you don't have any friends. But, you know, that's kind of that military lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So when you're going through and you're building that together, I think it's a very powerful thing.
Yeah.
It's powerful.
Right.
But I think when we see relationships, we tend to see, like, the really, you know, the Jay-Z and Beyonce. We see these famous relationships, mm-hmm. and we don't really know the whole process of how mm-hmm. it got started. Right. So mm-hmm. we tend to romanticize what the process actually looks like, mm-hmm. whereas Lawrence and Issa Dee are actually going through the process. Right. But Molly is kind of, like, imagining what it's supposed to be. Like, oh, you're supposed mm-hmm. to leave some stuff after a one-night stand. You're supposed to leave a bag at my house. Like, no, Molly, that's not the way it works.
Yeah.
Right. But I want to talk about Issa Rae and I love how she always kind of infuses, like, the YouTube audience. So we see the YouTube video. And I think it had, like, 918 views. Uh-huh. I was like, that's interesting. Uh-huh. So we get a chance to see her, and then we see you trying to come to the rescue to save her. And I was like, I already saw it happening. Like, when I saw them getting together.
I saw it, too.
I almost dropped it, like, 2 weeks ago, because, you know, I had a chance to know the whole storyline. And there's times when we're talking, and I go,
Maybe not.
But so, was he there to rescue her? I feel like he has an agenda.
I totally agree.
On multiple fronts.
Mm-hmm. This is really interesting. I have a question.
Okay.
What would his agenda be, necessarily?
He
came to the rescue.
Mm-hmm.
So did he come to the rescue, or was he asked? Was something asked of him of a friend that he felt, you know,
he had to
reciprocate and
do
that? I mean, similar things to the career day thing. Like, he was asked to do
it. Yeah, that's true.
And I think he was asked, and then he.
So he
stood
up.
He enjoyed
for sure. He enjoyed
asked,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he likes it. Issa.
Yes.
He has a genuine interest in Issa.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, okay?
Okay.
The Daniel slander. The Daniel slander has to stop. Okay? Because I'm not appreciating people saying that he's not husband material and all that.
Oh, is that what people?
Well, you know, they were saying on Twitter.
Well, it's just that people see him coming in the periphery,
right?
Like, and they see Lawrence building himself up, and he's in the midst of the struggle. So anybody who comes, you know, who's, like, kind of got things going for him, now that we have empathy for Lawrence, a built-in empathy for Lawrence, it's going to seem like, the humanity in us, especially one, we wanted the relationship to work between the both of them because we like them.
Yeah. Yes.
And then just seeing Lawrence struggle and do everything, and also the fact that he wants the relationship, is stiff-arming, you know, Tasha and all that. Like,
and it's only heightened, right, by the fact that Molly, on the other side, right, can't find this guy. And so you have Lawrence over here who wants, he's the guy who's wanting everything to work. And he wants to present himself in a good light for Issa, even though they're living together, or as my mother would say, shacking. But you have. But you're right. It puts you, your character, Daniel, right, in this almost no win situation.
It's a hard thing to
Follow.
I'm looking at the agendas a little different because I think he really knows her and he really gets her from the past. Right? And sometimes we grow up and we think that we've grown up. We think that we're different. And a lot of times we're not. We really just are that same kid. We might have the same passions. The way he's pushing her to rap and to flow and to like be creative. And she's so creatively stunted in every other part of her life. Like I see him as a champion for her of like
interesting.
But this opens kind up of a whole
Okay, so you're saying
it's like pro positive.
Okay, when I thought the agenda, I mean like you have like alternative agenda of him just trying to get in. But you're saying
I think he really likes her. I think he really has feelings for her. He really he knows she's not happy. And he sees all this talent and potential that is just like being wasted and he wants to bring it out. And she's so happy when she's doing it that I'm like, this look, this is such an exciting opportunity.
But isn't that that slippery slope we talked about? Well,
that's why
week.
She was shady AF because she didn't have to go through with it. This is that moment of like, oh my gosh, I do feel like this, but it's not right. Let me get my shit together before I do this. And she didn't, you know?
That's
and so,
But
I can see why you want to take your clothes off for a man that supports your creativity.
Thank you.
It's like Daniel. I mean, That was good.
I'm going to give you like a hug right now.
See, if you were on Twitter, she could have sent that
out.
You're going to start your Twitter account.
Does Tasha have an agenda?
I'm glad you asked, Tasha.
You know what? Tasha doesn't have an agenda. Tasha just sees that Lawrence is a good man and he's struggling and she's a good listener and she's a real good confidant and she knows she's the type she knows that you know he has somebody so it's okay for her to get friend zoned. She's okay with playing her role but at the end of the day I mean she is attracted to him so she did try to try her luck but you know it didn't really work. But I've been getting people telling me like, oh my God, like I hope that you sleep with Lawrence because I'm so mad at Issa. Like I've been getting that all last night.
You definitely want the text.
I think it's gonna be a tit for tat.
It's like I'm on top right now. Actually.
Yeah.
Like that's how I feel. Like that's what people have been playing me to be. I'm like, oh, okay. It's not really a homewrecker situation as much as I thought it would have been to people.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That is a very good point.
Because it had to be awkward. I mean, you knew that, right? When you walked in there looking for them batteries, wink, wink.
I knew he had someone, right?
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying. She's definitely trying to play, but she's still playing her role. She's trying on the slick.
But here's the thing. Yeah,
she can't help the feelings that she has for him.
Understandable. So if, let's just say that you were actually to get with Lawrence, right? Like he breaks up, he finds out Issa actually slept with Daniel, and then you actually get him when it's a slippery slope, when he's not really feeling comfortable. Would you feel comfortable as a character, of course, getting a man that was kind of on the outs on a relationship? Because I always ask myself that question. Mm-hmm. Like, if you, the way you get a man is the way you tend
to
lose
him. Can lose him.
Exactly. Right. So, talking about Tasha, what do you think?
I don't think that I think that her character kind of, she's on the fence about that and she knows that because she's really smart. But at the end of the day, she's kind of not really caring. I don't think she really cares. I think she's just trying to get him, but still play her role. Like it's very complicated what she's going through right now.
So we don't know her backstory.
We don't know.
And that's what's what's interesting about these characters that we play. We don't know who, like for instance, with Issa and Daniel, we don't know the 12 years in the shared history until he starts talking about Jack in Box and the romantic summers.
Right.
And he starts posing his taco trucks and he starts posing his own what if questions. So, you know, and we have a very, you know, it's a 30-minute show too, so we have like a very small amount of time
to get to know these characters.
I mean, you know, especially with Daniel, like he's like, now's my time to tell you how I feel about you. And he finally sees the moment, which is, it's quite natural for him to feel attracted to Issa. Like the unnatural thing was for things to lead up to where they did and him not present himself.
I like how you said that. Present himself.
Okay, so then I have a question for you guys. If you know if you have feelings for someone that is in a, let's just say it's a bad relationship, whether it's bad, it's just unfulfilling, but it's pretty much over to everyone outside of it, like if you have feelings for that person, do you go for it? Do you just keep your mouth shut and wait until they ride this out and see, like, what's the right thing to do?
You mean like Daniel in the relationship because Issa was already there?
Yeah, or same with Sasha. Like, she's putting herself out there. Tasha, sorry. Mm-hmm. She's putting herself out there because mm-hmm. she's picking up this vibe that, like, he's not satisfied. He's not fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And so what do you do? I mean, you know, Issa says, like, I wish you had said something to Daniel, right? Like, I wish you'd said something at the time.
Right.
So
after college,
what do you do? Like, you know, you don't want to be a homewrecker. You don't want to disrupt anything. But if you don't make yourself known, you have to live with that.
It's a personal decision. I mean, I personally, in my personal life, I wouldn't, like, broadcast my interest on somebody who's taken.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I do understand. You know, I just believe in timing.
Right. Yes.
So timing is a key thing, especially something like a relationship. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think the history, too. Like, 12 mm-hmm. years is a long time to know it someone, is. Especially the formative years, too.
Right. And that's why this particular scenario with Daniel and Issa, that's why it's particularly challenging because of this shared history.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And him knowing, like you mentioned, like, he knows who she is in ways that, you know, Lawrence might not even know about.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, that couch is, it knows, it's cute. It knows a lot of shared history. It's spilling stuff. But, like, the couch don't got, and it was.
It was amazing. Mm-hmm.
But the couch don't got nothing on, like, experiences that Daniel and Issa shared. Like, when they were really, like, before they had to be adults and you know, pay bills and stuff like that. So, you know, and I'm a little biased, but
that's interesting. So maybe not homewrecker because they're nobody's technically married, so we can't say that you guys
I was
are
wondering like the terminology.
Homewrecker, homewrecker. I was just being facetious.
Oh, that only goes always to marriage. That only pertains to marriage.
I've heard it, and I've always wondered.
If you're breaking up a home, whether you're married or not, you know.
Living together, yeah.
Yeah,
that's true. It's literally a homewrecker.
He's getting that milk.
That's true.
Very true.
I thought it was interesting, Lawrence's response.
That's funny, Paula.
I so hate I'm not there to see what is going on.
You have to watch the video later.
My girlfriend's mother, she was living with this guy. And she wanted to get married so bad, and he was totally not interested in popping the question. He was living with her, and her mother, so she's telling her mother this story, and she wants to get married. And her mother says, I don't understand why you think he would run after the bus when he's already sitting on it.
Oh, snap.
That's
message.
A good analogy.
I was like, whoa.
Analogy.
I was like, your mother said that? She's like, my mother just told me that.
Mama was going to let her have it. But we got to get back to the scene of you in the studio, because the guy who was actually, you said cue your heart. No, I was going to talk about Issa Rae's brother, Enamal. He played in that scene. I was like, that's so interesting. So Enamal is actually his name backwards.
Yeah.
And I thought it was interesting. Like, she was like, it's so monotonous. So I love how she always, like, infuses YouTube and that audience, like, kind of her foundation.
Well, starting her YouTube show was her basically trying to get something going for her brother, who was rapping at that time with his friends.
The irony of that scene is, like, because he plays like this garbage rapper, but he's dope in real life.
Oh my gosh, that was like one of my favorite scenes. That was super hilarious.
Yeah. He's
dead rap.
Rap was the
and he
bar.
Comes out and you killed the deceased. Like,
I was over
you
there.
You got your entourage. You was dabbing.
I was like, hey.
And Issa's face when she does like the little stinky face, like, that's not good. Let's go back and do that again. Mm-hmm. So I totally love that she always includes. But that's like, I think, a lesson in life. Like, sometimes when you want something, if you help somebody else, you end up ultimately getting what you want in life. And so because she had this passion and she put it towards her brother, look at what she's gotten. Like, this is such a lesson in life, I think, anyway. So that's just me.
I have a question about this scene. Was that a butt double or was that you?
Oh, there's no CGI. That's me.
Okay, just trying to check. Good work.
Good work. You know, he was in the gym probably like 3 times
a
day.
Absolutely. As soon as I got the script, I mean, I had like four and a half weeks to prepare for that.
He said 4 weeks.
Four and a half weeks. But I mean, 2 days. And like,
I was gonna say, you had to start like with a really good foundation.
I had a good
foundation.
Because
you saw every muscle in your body.
You know what I loved about that scene?
What?
that here's Issa who can do these raps about broken. But their intimate scene was very modest.
Did you notice? She kept her bra off.
And it was it was so intimate. Like that was something I really got from it. Was like these two. This is not just physical. Like there is really something there.
Yeah, I thought it was awesome.
You guys. I thought it was going to be just nothing but like
bashing.
And then some of that which is just fine.
Yeah, just a little bit.
But,
no,
it's,
I mean,
it's
great.
it makes sense.
That was all that pent up years of. We gotta see where this is gonna go.
Yeah. They definitely have way more history than Lauren.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But then didn't you
say a different kind of history? Yeah. That's the difference. Yeah. It's a different kind of history. Yeah.
Because, wait, didn't she say that they were friends with benefits?
They were friends with benefits.
Mm-hmm. In college, right?
In college, yeah.
That means that you guys were sleeping together.
Man. Well, yeah, so this wasn't the first time. I mean, it had been first
probably
time in
years.
A long time.
Mm-hmm.
First time
in 4 years, maybe.
Yeah, and it's ambiguous how much time was spent. But there's a level of intimacy that has been shared prior to this moment. And that's another thing. It's like, if it was always just about like some physical,
that's sort of, true.
Like mischievous plan,
right?
But the woman,
right?
You know, he's already
Daniel
done
has
that.
Options, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, he might have options, and that's another thing is like he seems like he's confident in his ascendancy as a producer. Mm-hmm. So you get to like your late 20s, you start to say, okay, well, who do I trust? Who knows me prior to his success?
Yep. Mm-hmm. The circle of trust closes.
Starts to you know.
Mm-hmm. I think that Daniel kind of just popped up in Issa's life at an awkward time, so it leaves her a little bit of what do I do? Mm-hmm. Like if he would have popped up before Lawrence, it would have been gravy. Like, they probably would have been together. Mm-hmm. But since now she has Lawrence and he pops up, it's like, oh, God.
Well, it's the
timing,
too,
the feelings
too, right?
are here.
With her and Lawrence, he comes back when her and Lawrence are on the down.
Right.
Exactly.
And so she's vulnerable.
Yep.
Exactly.
And she's looking for affirmation in all the wrong places. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it becomes just a slippery slope. There's nowhere to go with that.
And then he knows he's the what if guy. Because he actually brings that back around to her, which I thought was interesting. And I love how in this scene, I think Melina Masukas actually
shout out to her.
But you
oh
get
my gosh, yeah.
the shout out to her, and then shout out to Felicia Leatherwood who did Issa's hair.
Oh,
I was like,
she
yes.
Does. Every time I see her, I'll be like, yo.
Yeah,
she does.
When
isn't
I grow
amazing
my hair,
how
I'm
she
coming
she
to
does.
You for cornrows.
Right. Yeah. Just the whole thing. I was like, I love it. But you in this scene, I think, who was I talking about? Tasha and Danielle. I think, I love how they played, how Melina kind of played the two scenes against each other. Like, you'll see Daniel and Issa, and then you'll see
Molly.
Lawrence, and then you'll see
Tasha.
Molly. Mm-hmm. And so you have, like, just kind of like figuring out, okay, where am I in the scene? I think everybody intuitively puts themselves in one of those situations. Mm-hmm. Like, am I Issa? Am I Molly? Am I Tasha? Am I Daniel? Am I Chris? Am I Lawrence? Mm-hmm. Like, you instantly kind of figure out who you are in the scene, and it makes
And a lot of us has been in, like, each one of those things.
Pretty much.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It was the weirdest thing for me watching it, because here I am. I am the guy who is enabling, like, the most... The betrayal. I mean, I was just like, oh no, Issa's making. I mean, I had to distance myself a little because I'm looking at Lawrence. I'm just like, damn, bro. Like, I hate to be you. You know,
right?
Because it, you know. Mm-hmm.
And you said something interesting. You said that you thought initially the show was just going to be for women, but then you saw that it
I saw
really,
a lot of myself. Yeah, so my homies they sort of like. Relate to Chad, but from when I read the pilot, I was like, yo, Lawrence. Like, I auditioned for Lawrence. Like, Lawrence was like the guy I was like, oh, yeah, no, this is like, at that point in time, it was me. So
I
related
that.
To him
100%. Uh-huh. Yeah. That's a great role. Lawrence has a great role.
It's
and
great.
It's just started.
And it's just started. It's only four episodes.
Yeah. It's going to be a great journey.
It's going to be great. We heard episode 8. I can't wait for the season finale, but we're
far
from that.
Yeah.
But I want to talk.
It's going to be awesome.
What do you say? It's going to be awesome.
Yes. It is. It's just going to be a good. Yeah, it is.
It's going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. But we haven't really talked about Molly and Chris and Jadena. I don't know if he has more episodes, but I think he's going to come back. Hmm. Jadena. I feel like he's going to come back. Because I thought with you, your perspective on him, like he came to save her. Mm-hmm. She may not have wanted to hear her truth. Mm-hmm. but it was what it was. And the fact, you know, from a guy's perspective, and that was the interesting thing too, because I was actually watching this with a guy. So to hear a guy's perspective watching this thirsty woman, but you said
thirsty. Sounds like some creature.
I know, right? She's like, ah, thirsty. So
dehydrated.
I like dehydrated. Yeah, because a lot of women are dehydrated in this world.
But she can't even recognize it. So how do you help her? Because she can't even, you know, if you are dehydrated and you see water, it's amazing when it touches your lips, but you understand it's water and you can't just gulp it down because it will physically make you sick, right? You have to accept it in moderation. Who is going to help Molly determine moderation? Because she can't keep accosting every single person that speaks to her, winks at her, or flirts with her, or goes on a date with her. She's so overbearing in those relationships.
She is.
Yes. Part of it, I think, is I like the attorney aspect of it. Like, when that Issa is hysterical. In the office, like, can you be my attorney? And she's like, well, who posted it? You know, well, I don't know. And she's shaking the paper clips, and she's like, what, you got to work? She's like, yes, I'm a real ass attorney. Like,
I have a real job.
Who am I going to threaten, Issa? That was my favorite part.
Episode. Right, I love that scene, because there's this real, like, dichotomy between, you know, the seriousness of her career and how you know, her expertise, right, her domain versus where Issa's at, where she's not feeling maybe that valuable or valued where she is.
Right.
And we know that Molly, like, is the real deal
when it comes to her personally job. Molly needs something that gives her self-awareness, right? Molly, it's interesting to me, the mirror. I love the whole symbolism behind the mirror. And I think Molly is one who needs to spend some time in front of a mirror, because her self-reflection is going to be hard for her to absorb. She's got to have that moment. And interesting enough, just like Issa did, right, in the bathroom. After she turns and she finds the soap dish.
I love that part.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
very powerful.
Favorite.
Very powerful. Yeah. But she had that moment. Because before, she's always in the mirror rapping and pumping herself up. Right? And Molly needs that same self-awareness. It's just like, how, you know, it'll be interesting to see how she gets it.
How she finds
as she's
it.
On her journey.
And we all have those friends that you're like, I don't know, we're going to get it. Right? You're like, I love you for who you are, and it's probably never going to improve.
Right, but it's okay. You're still my friend. Yeah, you're right. But I noticed, too, like, in this episode, when she's kind of comfortable in the relationship, she's not pumping herself up. She's not doing the rap. She's definitely, like, more reflective when she's when things are going good. And so that's an interesting perspective.
When things kind of mellowed out with her and Lawrence.
Yeah.
You're saying the raps.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's true. That's true.
Five minutes. Okay, so, so Dominique, you said that you're working on Underground. So what else do you have coming up that we need to know about?
It's literally just Underground right now. I've just been filming that for some weeks now. And then after that, I'm just going to go back to L.A. and just relax.
You're going
to nothing coming up as of right now, but just Underground.
Underground. You said just Underground. Just a really amazing show.
I'm like, girl, you are in Insecure and Underground. Let's try that one more time.
You know, the strange thing about me, I'm just, once I do something, I'm kind of like, what else? Like, I'm never satisfied. I'm like, what else? You know, that's just how I am. So when I say just, I'm just kind of like, I'm ready for the next thing. But definitely, like, it's credibility there. Like, I love that I'm on Underground. Insecure already speaks levels. So.
Huge.
And I think that's great, too, because you're on shows that are so different.
Completely.
Yes, and I said that, and I wanted to do a period piece. I've always wanted to do, like, a period show or a period film. Something that kind of helps me, because I'm always playing, like, the girl next door type or something. It doesn't really give me a place where I can really act. So it's good that Underground gave
girl
me
next door. I don't know, voluptuous,
right?
You're the voluptuous girl.
You're the vixen kind.
Unattainable.
You're that
girl.
Sassy voluptuous girl.
I'm always that. I'm like, okay, love it.
Right, that's totally. Now, we want to know where we could find you on your social media, because I know you have Instagram, but the question is, do you have Twitter?
I don't have Twitter. Okay. I'm going to get Twitter. I need Twitter and I need Snapchat. I feel like everybody's telling me to get those two. I'm definitely on the Instagram though at Dominique P.
Dominique P. Mm-hmm. So
Dominique Q U E P.
P. Okay, awesome. We got it. So we'll keep up with Underground and be watching for you on Underground.
Yes. Now, it premieres in March.
In March. Okay.
Great. Yes.
We'll be looking out for you in March.
Thank you.
Lante.
Yeah, we
That's
know.
A great name.
Isn't that a great name?
What?
Yes.
Yeah. So we want to know where we could find you on your social media handles. I don't have any, but I'm thinking
about getting a Snapchat.
You're thinking about getting Snapchat. No Instagram?
You should get an Instagram.
You should totally
People
do Instagram.
People be mad if I get an Instagram. It's not gonna be nothing but like green smoothies and recipes for like.
That's why your body's looking like that.
That's great. The day that Insecure premiered, my best friend texted me and was like, "Girl, who in the hell is that?"
Lante might be a hookup. Love
connection.
Yes. Okay. So
it'll be better than getting on an app.
It'll be much better than getting on the league. It sounds like.
Yeah. I hear there's a wait list.
On league?
There is 3 months. It really is true.
Are you on the league?
I'm not. It makes sense.
Yeah. I love that you're old school. High five for the old school dudes out there.
I love that.
We like that about you.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome.
So, you guys, where can we find you on your social media?
I have to ask Jay if he's on any.
I've never asked that question before.
That's
a good question.
You can find me on Twitter at Miss Oriana Leo and Instagram at Oriana Leo, and also Tilt by Oriana, my fitness business.
All righty. And how about you, Miss Paula?
I'm Paula Bryant Ellis, and you can catch me on Instagram and Twitter, P. Bryant Ellis.
And I'm your girl, Madison Chase, and you could find me on YouTube at One Mad Chase, on Twitter at Madison Chase Fit, and on Instagram, Madison Chase Fitness. Thank you for watching, and stay tuned because we're going to have some special guests in the house next week for episode 6, HBO Insecure.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for watching.
Thank you.
Bye. Do I hang up?
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us, info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in. The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.